Davies. He's in the hospital. So, Lord, we lift up Joanne to you. We thank you that you are Joanne's healer. So, Lord, we thank you that you touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And, Lord, that she will be every bit whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, around this time, no, not around this time, probably 5 o'clock today, your time. No, 5 o'clock this morning, your time. I was sailing, Nick and me were sailing on the Sea of Galilee with a Messianic Jew who led us in praise and worship. And I'll tell you, there was many highlights on this trip, but it was one of the greatest highlights. I just sensed the presence of the Lord in that ship so much as we worshiped the Lord together. And I could have sat there all day, just on the water, just floating away in the presence of the Lord. Because when we're in the presence of the Lord and we know God is a good God, you know what? There is no need. We have nothing that we stand in need of. God has met every one of our needs. And it was so exciting. And another one of my highlights was there is the commercial part that is called the Garden of Gethsemane, but the guide we had took us into another part that most tourists don't go to. And we were able to walk there where Jesus prayed. His prayer of commitment, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And we had an opportunity there just to pray for our families, our churches, our needs. And it was just very, very special. Anyway, when I do my devotions, you know, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what happens to me, that God is a good God. And he wants good things in my life. I don't care if all hell breaks loose around me. I know God is still a good God. And he has a way and he has a plan to get me out of that mess that I'm in. You know, nothing is going to shake. And I was thinking about that this week, walking the streets of Jerusalem. And I thought, why is that? Because I constantly meditate on the goodness of God. I will not allow anything else, because we can create a God in our image, in our likeness. We put him in a box and make him what our circumstances and what our feelings are, and our feelings lie to us. They don't mean anything. We need to know that we know that we know that God is good. And that doesn't happen by sitting in church for an hour a week or every other week or whatever. It means we meditate on the Word of God. We think about it. We personalize it. And so I just want to give you a little thing. We were doing our devotions on Psalm 89, and I've done this for a long time, is when I read my Bible, I personalize it, and scriptures that kind of speak to me that particular day, I write it in a prayer to God. And this is what I got out of prayer based on Psalm 89 this week. Lord, I thank you that you can always be trusted. That you are a faith, that you are faithful. You have scattered all my enemies, all of them. You are strong and mighty, and your kingdom is ruled by justice and fairness, with love and faithfulness leading the way. You bless me when I walk with you in the brightness of your presence. You know, we can walk in the presence of God all day long. He wants to spend time with us. I am happy all day because of you and your saving, healing, delivering, protecting, and providing power brings honor to me. Your glorious power makes me strong, and because of your kindness, my strength increases. You are my Lord and my King, the Holy One of Israel. You are my shield. And you know what the shield? The shield of faith is who you are. We've got the shield of faith with us at all times. When we sang that song this morning, my soul must sing. The thought came to me is we make a decision that our soul sings. But you know, when we know the personality of the God we serve, if we meditate and draw that into our hearts, you know what? We don't have to make our soul sing. It sings because our spirit man becomes so strong that it overwhelms the soulical part and the fleshly part of us. And we can cry out, my soul, it must sing the glory of God. So this morning, I want to talk, which is probably no surprise to any of you, is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Do you know God is a restorer? He always wants to restore. I don't care where you are. I don't care how much you have messed up. God wants to restore. To restore. This morning as I was meditating on my message, I was reminded of when I was in the old city of Jerusalem. You know, they have rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt on those old foundations. It was torn down, they built again, it was torn down, it was built again. And there was places that they gave us a chance to look down to see how deep that foundation was. And I was reminded of how God does that with our life. He keeps restoring. We think every once in a while, well, this is the end. I don't know where to go anymore. Things are so dark. I don't know how to rebuild. And yet, if we allow him, God will build on those broken walls all over again. But you know what happens? That foundation gets deeper and deeper and deeper in the love of God. It just goes and it becomes so strong that, you know, the devil can do his worst, but we still believe that God is a restorer. I mean, I got so happy this morning thinking about that. I thought, wow, God is so good. I am absolutely convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God needs to become more real to us, or the truth of God's word needs to become, I'm in trouble? Okay. Needs to become more real to us. God is the answer. He has the answer. No matter if we have goofed up ourselves, or it's an attack of the enemy, God has a plan. And he's not taken by surprise. And he can fix it. The Lord revealed himself to the children of Israel, first of all, as I am the Lord who heals you. He does not have healing. He is healing. That is the exact, you know, water is water. You touch water, you get wet, right? Nobody can say, well, that water isn't wet. It's not water. No, water is water, and it'll stay wet until, I guess, forever. Because we have water in heaven, too, I guess. So God is healing. He is healing. He is healing. We don't have to fight to get it. He is it, and he wants you to be healed. It is the essence of God. It is who he is. James 1, 16 and 17 says this, do not err, my beloved brothers. So it tells us we can err. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Not even a little bit. God wants to give us good and perfect gifts. It also says in the New Living Translation, do not be misled. So if God warns us, we know we can be misled. And we need to know what we are fighting. I mean, you all know that I was delivered from fear. I was so fearful, it was sad. And I wasn't delivered from fear until I knew. And I could have known all along because I'd read the scripture for years. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So in other words, that spirit of fear did not come from God. I thought it came from God. And, you know, you can't fight God, can you? But if you know it's not coming from God, then we can rise up out of that situation. So if you know sickness has not come from God, then you know that you can be delivered from it because He is our healer. The New Living Translation said in James 1, verses 5 to 8, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. You know, we can ask for wisdom. A lot of times we run everywhere first, and then as a last resort, we go to God. I remember one time that somebody asked for prayer for somebody, and somebody said, it has come to that? So in other words, that's the last resort. When nobody else can do anything, we go to God. And the result is that we have Christians that are walking around and haven't got enough faith to see God through for a headache. Why is it? I'll tell you right now, none of us will ever be good enough to earn our salvation. I don't care how good we are or how righteous we walk, we will never be good enough to get our way into heaven. But it's also that way with sickness and disease. We will never, ever do everything right or be good enough to receive that healing power on our merit. But Jesus went to the cross for us, and He gave us all the things that we need. And when I talk about healing, it takes care of any area of our life. You know, it's healing, but it's the same principle in every area of our life. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. You know, the words we speak are creative. And, you know, we allow so much negative stuff to come out. A profession of our faith speaks what God can do, not what we're feeling or what we're thinking. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's what the Word of God has declared to us. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for He is a rewarder For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need to seek Him. Why do we need to seek Him? Because we need to know who He is. We need to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We need to end the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need to know Him intimately. I'm very much in relationship. I love relationships. I love people. I could not survive on my own. But you know, unless you are communicating with the person you are in relationship with, after a while, you don't know who they are. You don't know what's going on in their head. You don't understand them. And that's where you get strife and friction in relationship. You need to be communicating. But you know, many of us, we do not communicate with our God. We do not spend time, and I'm not talking that you have to spend hours in prayer, but spend hours meditating on who he is, what the word says he is, what the word says about you, what you have in him. If we have to have faith to please him, you know, when we already have something, it doesn't take faith to believe God for it. When we don't see it is when we exercise our faith. And it says faith gives substance to hope. So you have to have hope. A lot of people are trying to believe God for things that they have absolutely no hope for believing, because they say it's always been that way. It's been a long time. And can I have a Kleenex? Anyway, it's been a long, It's been a long time, and so it's always going to stay this way. You know, God must not want to answer my prayer. And then we start creating a God in our image. He wants to reward faith. And so, now one of the reasons that a lot of times we can't exercise our faith is because we do not know what God's will is. But God has made certain things very clear in his word. There's some things we don't necessarily know, direction for our life. Sometimes we really need to pray, if it be thy will. But when it comes to things that his word declares to us very clearly, we can have faith and stand, and I don't care if it doesn't look like it's so. I've been there many, many, many times in my life that things just did not look good. But I had faith and hope in God that there would be a difference, and I saw something in the distance, and today I'm living there. Now, there's still some things I see in the distance, because it's constantly we keep walking by faith and not by sight. Matthew 8, verse 2 and 3 says, "And lo, a leper, having come, was bowing to him, saying, Sir, if thou art willing, thou art able to cleanse me. And having stretched forth the hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." You say, well, yeah, that was that leper and it was Jesus. No, God was speaking to all of his children at that point. The leper had incomplete faith. He said, I know you can, but I don't know that you will. And I think that's a lot of times where we are. We believe God can, but we are not sure that he will. And so we let go of our faith. But Jesus said, and his words ring through all generations, I will. This is my will. Jesus only did those things he saw his Father do. We never saw Jesus putting sickness, disease, or telling someone, forget it, today is not your day, go home, work yourself into a frenzy, and maybe tomorrow, if you come back, I can do something. No, the only time that Jesus could not do anything was when there was no faith, no trusting, not believing that he was really God and that he was good and that he wanted to do good things in our life. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, surely, surely, he surely has borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, this is the Amplified, and distress. and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions, for my transgressions, for your transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed or made whole. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of theologians today that are saying that the sickness that Jesus healed was a sin. And he did heal our sin. He did take our sin. But it also talks about physical sickness. And how do we know that? Is because if we look at Matthew 8, verse 17, he quotes this very passage and applies it to the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus was healing all those that came to him, and he said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. So that was the scripture he used to prove his ministry. You know, I had a nephew who was born with fluid on the brain and was totally deaf, went to the mentally, what are they called now? No, mentally handicapped school, whatever. You know, we have to be politically correct now and say all the right words. I don't know. But anyway, he was already going there. And somebody came and prayed for him. And this boy was totally, totally healed and is in ministry today in Toronto. When he went to Bible school, the first time he came home after he started, he came to my husband and me and he said, Uncle Ralph, this does not mean physical healing. It means spiritual healing. I was absolutely blown away that somebody who had experienced the power of God in such a great measure in his life would dare to even think that or say that. But if they can do that to somebody who has received such an incredible miracle, then not how much more to somebody who just reads the Bible here and there and doesn't pay attention to it or has not experienced it. If you were to look up the Hebrew words that have been translated, bruised and stripes, you'd find that they both come from the same word, saying he was bruised for our iniquity, and with those bruises we are healed. If it was the will of God to bruise him and make him carry our sickness, how can it be the will of God to bruise us and make us carry those same sicknesses again? It can't be. It just can't. I want you to meditate on that. It can't be. I want to turn this whole situation around because we always bring it that it's just spiritual healing. I want you to see how repulsive that really is. I'm going to switch it around and I'm going to talk about a fellow believer who comes to you and say, yesterday I got drunk, I could hardly walk. Then I went home and I beat my wife and my kids. After that, I went out and I robbed the gas station. But don't blame me for it. God put that sin on me to teach me something. That would be repulsive. We'd say, no, no, no. Jesus paid the price for your sin. He's given us his grace. That's God's ability to overcome sin. Now, there are churches that are teaching today that it's God's grace is the ability to overlook sin. God can never overlook sin. He paid the price for our sin, a great price. His blood was shed on Calvary for our deliverance from sin. But you know, he knew we could never do it on our own, and that's why he sent Jesus, because he was the perfect Lamb of God. God's grace is not his ability to overlook sin, but the ability for us to overcome sin. That when you are tempted, you can call on the grace of God, and grace comes alongside of you and strengthens you so that you can walk away from the temptation instead of walking to it. Those kind of churches were around in Paul's day, because they went saying that Paul's message of grace meant that we ought to sin so that grace could be shown. Baloney. God hates sickness and disease, and he hates it when some devilish germ gnaws the life out of the people of one of his precious children, out of the body of one of his precious children. He designed and formed that body with his own hand out of the earth, and he made it perfect. How do you think he feels when he sees it twisted and tormented, bringing grief not only to the sufferer, but also to all who love him? Have you been by the bedside of somebody who is dying of cancer? And you want to tell me that God is a loving God? Wants that? No. He has already done everything that he is ever going to do for sickness and disease at Calvary. He is not, we don't have to beg and plead for salvation. We know that he wants people saved. Doesn't matter where they are. We dare to walk up to them and say, do you know that God loves you? Jesus loves you. This we know. Jesus loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you look like. Jesus loves you. Now, he's not going to die again. We don't have to beg and plead for salvation. But the same way, we don't have to beg and plead for healing. He has given us what we need. He has died at Calvary, took the stripes, and took all that suffering on him so that we would walk free from the suffering. We would not be tormented in our mind, because that crown of thorns was put on his head to take the torment that's in our mind, because he desires to give us peace. So God has given it to us. You say, yeah, but I know Sister So-and-so who was a wonderful saint of God, and she died. So it must not be God's will. You know, when I taught ladies' Bible study for 30 years, I know I've said many times, it doesn't matter whatever happens to me. God's word is the only source of truth. The only thing. You can't say, well, Frida believed in healing, and look at, she's dead prematurely, so it must not be true. My husband, if anyone was strong in believing God for healing, it was him. And you know what? I don't understand. But I know one thing for sure, that it wasn't God. That he died prematurely, and I said the first Sunday after he died, this will not change the theology of this church. Because we believe in the healing power of Jesus, not just in our spirits, but in our physical body, in our minds, in every area of our life, because we serve a living, good God who wants, and I don't care who dies, I will still believe that it's God's will to heal. Now, it's appointed for all men to die once, and after that, to see the judgment. It's God's will. But you see, sickness and disease do not come from the throne of God. Healing, point number two. Healing always comes. I do have points. Gee, that's a miracle. Healing always comes. Always. So if you say, well, Sister so-and-so didn't heal. No, it's not in the healing power of God. It's in their receiving it. It's in us receiving the answer to our prayers that sometimes there's not a connection. God always heals. You pray, God heals. But we have seen many people sit in churches week after week after week after week, have heard the word. Hey, I heard the word for 30 years. Sat on the front pew of the church. Loved God. So I thought I did. Thought he was a little tough person. I mean, if you really asked me, you know, I didn't know him, know of him. But I thought he was a hard taskmaster. He was ready to zap me every time I did something wrong. So you know what? I was a very obedient child. I looked like a Christian. I smelled like a Christian because I ate peppermints in church. And I acted like a Christian. But you see, I did not have what I have today. I did not know him intimately like I know him. You know, if you live with, I knew my husband, lived with him for 42 years. I knew what he was thinking. I knew what, when he said something, I knew what it meant. You know, if somebody would come to me and say, no, 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 that's what he meant, I'd say, I'm sorry. I know this man intimately, and that did not come from him. Sorry, you know, you can tell me something else, but not that. I don't believe it. But if we know God intimately, then if people come along and say something to us that does not line up with the Word of God, even if you don't always have the scripture and verse for it right then, you know, that's not my God. That's not what God does. Healing always comes. It's not in the healing power. It's in us receiving it. So after 30 years, somebody getting me really mad and saying I needed to get my life straightened out with God, I cried out to God and God changed me in a twinkling of an eye. He changed me. He changed who I thought God was. All of a sudden I knew that if I was the only person, he would have still gone and died for me and paid the price for my sin. And he still would have paid the price for my sickness and my disease. And he still would have paid the price for my peace of mind and for my provision and for my protection. Because to receive healing is exactly the same way we receive salvation. Because if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, not in your head, in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That word saved is sozo. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or sozo. The word translated saved in the original is the word sozo, which literally means to be made sound, to be delivered from every form of sickness and danger, both temporal and eternal. Hallelujah. So anything that we stand in need of, we receive it exactly the same way as we receive salvation. Receiving healing is as easy as receiving salvation. If that is true, why are so many Christians still sick? It is because the truth of healing has not been consistently preached. I remember when I was just very young, I heard somebody coming on television and he prayed for people with headaches. And I shuddered. I pulled to every religious bone I had in my body, and I had lots of them. And I thought, how can they bug God about a headache? That's awful. Well, you know what? There was a time in my life that I got such bad headaches that it would put me out of commission for almost a week. And I could understand why somebody would ask God to heal them from a headache. God healed me and delivered me. He was very gracious to me after me being so religious. He healed me from those headaches. And other than if I would drink 15 cups of coffee in one day and then decide to go cold turkey the next, I might get a little bit of a headache, but I am absolutely not a headache person. So God is consistent. It is because the truth about healing is not being consistently preached, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the only way that faith is increased in our hearts is if we study and read the word of God. That's how faith comes. You can hear me preach for years and years and years, and faith won't increase in your heart unless you apply it to the word of God and you look up the scriptures and start meditating on it, start personalizing it. You need to personalize those scriptures. There was a time not so very long ago when it was just as tough to get people born again as it is to get them healed today. Religious tradition had convinced people that salvation just couldn't be obtained for the average person. And I remember witnessing to somebody who'd gone to church all their life, had an experience with the Lord when in an accident, and Jesus came alongside of him and he lived. He should not have lived. And he went to a church where he was a joyful man. And I said to him, I says, well, what do you have to do in your church to be born again? Oh, he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. I says, well, the Bible says, and I took him to the scripture of Romans 10:9-10, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you know, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, confession. I says, do you believe that? Oh, yes, 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 I believe that. I says, well, then it says you're saved. You're born again. He said, oh, no, 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 no. He says, not in my church. He says, we don't believe that. I says, well, tell me then, when do you consider somebody? He says, when that person is really burdened by their sin. He says, they walk down. Well, Jesus came to deliver us from sin. You know? So, for some of these people, it's hard to believe that it's so easy to come to Jesus. You know, sometimes it's harder to belong to a church than it is to belong to the body of Christ. And that's sad. But it used to be that people would tarry to get saved. You know, they had to stay on their knees and weep before God. Well, you know, Jesus never meant it that way. He said, if we will believe with our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we are saved. Matthew 15, verse 3 said, but he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? You know, our religious traditions will keep us in bondage. I had to pray to get delivered from my religious traditions. It says, or you have made the word of God of no effect because of your traditions. You know, we take the power of the word of God away because of when Dwight L. Moody came on the scene and started preaching the new birth, they started telling people that Jesus bore their sin, and if they'd received the gift of salvation in simple faith, they'd be born again. Whole denominations like the Baptists preached that message to everything that would stand still. And still today, you'll see more people getting saved in Baptist churches than anywhere, because that is where they focus. And that's good. But you see, with that also comes that God has taken care of every one of our needs. What do you think would happen if every born-again believer would start preaching that Jesus bore our sicknesses and our diseases? When I first got revelation on that message, I made a commitment to God that everybody who came to me with a need, didn't matter where they were, I would take their hand and I would say, can I pray for you? And I've seen many miracles happen that way. also see many people drop dead after I prayed for them. And one time I had a pity party. I says, yeah, sure, get me to pray for you and drop dead. But you see, I can't do anything. Jesus did it all. And I am obedient to what God has told me to do. And I believe that if we would follow and preach that message wherever we go. And you know where we need to preach it first? To yourself. That you, I've seen people grab a hold of that message and run with it. And boy, get legalistic with it. You know, you should not be sick. You're not, you. Hey. Sickness hits their body and they're off. Oh, why is God doing that to me? Oh, God isn't doing it. It's out here. It says the curse causeless will not come. So I'm sorry to say, none of you are perfect. Neither am I. And you know, I do things to draw the curse to myself. One of the great things that we can cause the curse to come on us is by speaking negative all the time. Woe is me. Poor is me. I've got it worse than anybody else. Boo hoo 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 hoo. All the time. You know, words are creative. We are created in the image of God. And God said and there was. God said and there was. And God said and there was. If what we spoke, I'm tied to a rope. If what we spoke would automatically happen the minute we spoke, we would get very careful what would spit out of our mouth. But, you know, we talk negative all the time. Oh, we get real good when we get around spiritual people. Well, yes. Yes, the Lord. And then we get where nobody else believes the way we do. And we say, oh, I'm terrible. I feel this. I feel that. And you get people that will give you organ recitals. I hate organ recitals. You have a need? Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And if you've committed any sins, they will be forgiven you. Now, the enemy is always out there too, trying to trip you up. So, you know, but I think mostly, and I hate to tell you this, but it's the truth. It's what the word says. The curse causeless will not come. We have opened a door somewhere. That doesn't mean you start walking around, oh, what did I do? Oh, what did I do? No, if you've blown it, confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you could be perfect to receive your healing, you know what? Jesus didn't need to take all that stuff on him. So, if we would start preaching the healing power of God, I've seen many people come to the Lord because they experienced the healing power of God. If somebody said to you, well, I gave my heart to the Lord, but I don't really feel any different than I did yesterday, what would you say to them? Why, you can't go by feelings? Has nothing to do with feelings. You know, we're still out in this world. If I get a bill that's way higher or my car blows up around me, you know what? I don't feel particularly saved at that moment. You know, feelings have nothing to do with it. It's what the Word of God says. If you confess and believe in your heart, you're saved. You know, and your life will change. You know, then you get the other extreme. Actually, Nick and me talked about it yesterday. That people think automatically when people get saved, their whole life is turned around. They never have any issues. They're all of a sudden brand new people. Yeah, they're brand new people on the inside of them. But you know, this flesh and this mind is used to thinking certain things. And it's a process. We are sanctified by the Word of God. We are taught, we need to renew our mind to the Word of God. And that changes us. When sickness and disease comes knocking at your door, don't go and accept it. you know, and lay down with it. You know, and there's a happy medium, because I hate the legalism in this kind of stuff as much as I hate legalism in anything else. People are walking around going, and you say to me, you have a cold? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Nothing wrong with me. Or they're walking around. You got problems? No, no, no problems. Well, you know, if we're not sick, we don't need to be healed. So if you've got something, admit it and get prayer and get it over with. But then after that, start walking by faith. You know, great when miracles happen. Personally, I've always had to walk it out by faith. I've had a few miraculous recoveries, but most of it is by faith. But, you know, we do not take ownership of that sickness. We don't say, my appendix is bursting. My diabetes, my cancer, my flu, my headache, whatever it is. You know, don't receive it. It doesn't belong to you. It comes from the pit of hell. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Accept the healing power of God and receive your healing that's been given to you 2,000 years ago. He has done all that he will ever do for your healing. It is our responsibility to receive it as a free gift. We can bawl and squall and complain all we want. He's already done it. You're the healed of the Lord. What you need to do is you need to receive it. We receive because of the finished work at Calvary. All it takes is to sincerely believe that what he has said, he will do. I would rather trust the word than trust anything else. Number three, attend or pay attention to his word. Proverbs 4:20-27. My son or my daughter, listen to my words. Bow down your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What are they? For they are life. Life to those who find them. And health to all his flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a forward mouth or a wicked mouth, and devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your feet from evil. You need to remove your feet from evil. You know, God wants us well. We have a responsibility to bring the kingdom of God here on this earth. We pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no lack of peace in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. God wants us to live in his best. Don't settle for second best. Settle, you know, and I say, you know what? I want to live till I'm 120. Then I'll decide. I'm going home to be with the Lord, or I've got work to do yet. And people say, well, you can't say that. You know, I think there's very few people in this world compared to the one that believe God causes sickness and disease and all kinds of trouble in this world, that we need every Christian that believes that way to stay alive till they're 120 and preach the gospel. I don't care. And you know what? I'd rather reach high and miss the mark, then reach low and accomplish it. Right. You know, stretch yourself. Stretch your faith. Why are we here? As long as we're in this body, we can preach the good news of the gospel. Gospel means good news, not bad news. While I've got breath in this body, while my spirit is still here, I can preach the gospel, which is better for this world, that when I go, praise God, in the presence of God, which will be wonderful, but I have no voice here anymore to tell people the good news. So every one of you is valuable and important. We need each one of you to preach the good news of the gospel. You say, well, you know, it's more important to believe God for salvation, for being born again, for Christian unbelievers coming. Hey, it's all the same package. All of it is together. But, you know, sometimes I've gotten to, you know, I've told this story before, but gone to funeral service and it makes me sick. I saw a woman die in prime of life. Horrible disease. Can't live her cancer. The minister got up to preach and he said, God, you know, we get these religious voices too with the whole thing. God needed a flower in heaven. And he looked on Sister So-and-so. And he said, now there is the flower that I need to pick and put in heaven. Never mind that she left a bunch of kids behind, a husband behind that still needed her. No, God needed that flower. How selfish can a God be? Then I looked and there was a bunch of old ladies sitting in front of me, really old. And I thought, oh, my goodness. They think they're dandelions. You know, I mean, this religious junk does not make any sense. It really doesn't. You need to think through sometimes. Yes, we lose people prematurely. So sad. Don't tell me. I know that. But you know what? God is a redeeming God. God is a restorer of the broken walls of our life and gives us opportunities. So then don't let the situation dictate to you what you're going to preach. Are you going to get some sixth sense of satisfaction about talking about a God who does awful things? Or are you going to talk about a God who loves you and cares for you and wants good things in your life? I'm sorry. I will not do any of that. I will preach the gospel according to the word of God, that God wants us free and God wants us delivered. And I'm going to get all of you to confess this. I confess that Satan is not a force I'm trying to defeat because he is already defeated. I use my God-given authority to resist him, and he flees from me. No matter what demonic strategy may come against me this day, or how many demons may try to assemble together for my destruction, I never have to go down in defeat. When I look into the mirror, I see someone who already has the victory. I possess the authority necessary to keep Satan under my feet where he belongs. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Now, you can approach life like you are a victorious champion. Or a struggling victim. I'd rather be a champion for the Lord any day. Does that mean I'll never fall flat on my face? Yes, I will. But he says if we fall, he'll pick us up. And he'll take us and walk us through the situation. That's, he will build on that new foundation. You need to change your thoughts, your words, your attitudes to help you approach life in a more victorious way. Hallelujah. I want you to stand up. I want the music team to come. And we're going to pray for all those that have any struggles anywhere. If you need to be born again, I'll tell you the day I sat in church. I taught Sunday school for 15 years. I've been part of the evangelism committee. What I was evangelizing, I don't know. But I was part of it. Church doors open. I was there. But you know, I was bankrupt. I did not have anything to give to someone. So I don't care how religious you look, how Christian look, if you've never had an intimate relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, today is your day to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life, change me, and make me into a victorious champion that you've already paid the price for. If you have sickness in your body, he wants to heal you. You know, he could heal you right now. He will heal you right now. You might not feel it in your body right this minute, but he has healed you. When we anoint you with oil and pray over you, that problem is done, but you need to receive it. And if you go out and you say, guess it didn't work. You know what? You've just lost it. But if we pray for you and you say, thank you, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to meditate on the word. And I'm going to believe you that those things which you said will be manifested in my body. You know, you will have whatever you ask. And if you have problems with your finances, God is your supplier. If you have trouble with stress in your life, God is the one that gave you your peace. So as we sing, is anybody singing or not? Nobody's here? Oh, well, we'll pray anyway.